When we met Carl, when I first started, it wasn't almost hostility. There was open hostility in the room. I don't know if you remember that. It was in one of the classrooms over there. And NTSL over a number of years had kind of drifted away from the Kollel. And when I went to speak there, so I basically gave this pitch for Kollel. At the time, very, very few Kol Madrichim had ever been to NTSL Shabbaton. Very few Kol Madrichim would be caught dead in an NTSL Shabbaton. And I gave my whole pitch. And then after that, I took questions. And by the way, I'll take questions at the end here also. Hopefully I won't speak that long. I'll be open to ask anything. But it got to the end. And then, you know, the first question was like, co-ed, this and that. We got past that. And they said, look, this is the problem with NCSY. Honestly, there's not enough Torah in NCSY. And that's why we're not interested. And I remember looking at the guy. I didn't remember the guy it was. I looked at him. I said, well, don't you think if you guys came, we'd have more Torah? And that was like, you know, like a light bulb went off. And it was important. Look, I was NCSY 22 years. But my whole chinuch, in terms of not just NCSY, but in terms of Kiruv, in terms of everything I do in my entire life, was pretty much formulated from 1994 to 1996 when I was a madrich in NCSY Kollel. Rabbi Benovitz and I, in 1994, there were 60 guys in Kollel. That was a year before it jumped to 140-something, before it got really big. There were 60 guys. There were 10 madrichim. It was Rabbi Larry Rothwax, Rabbi Benovitz, Barry Goldfisher, myself. It was a whole chevro of guys. And for me, and I've said this many times, it just put the emphasis that Torah has to be at the heart and soul of anything that we do. Anything that we do. And everything else. And, you know, there were times when I was ahead of NTSY, and I'd go to Shabbaton, and I called the regional director and said, you know, it was really amazing until I got up at Shalosh Shittos. I didn't hear one pasuk said the entire Shabbaton. And we spent a lot of time trying to basically, that's why we created the curriculum, a lot of those things. And those things really came from Kollel. And that's why your influence was so important to the greater movement. So important to the great movement, regardless if you ever go to NCSY Shabbaton or not. And I want to say that Kollel, going from 94 to here, I think I said this to your son a second ago, you know, Rabbi Benovitz is one of my heroes in the world. I think that he's one of the smartest people. I could tell you that my own son, I was talking to Rabbi Benovitz a second ago, has a decision to make in terms of shear this and that. And I told him that the person I trust more than anything is Rabbi Benovitz to speak to. And I put two of my sons in this program. And that's all because of Rabbi Benovitz. He literally, I think, is... one of the smartest, most talented. He's way smarter and more talented than he even knows. And, you know, suffice to say, I really don't leave the old city much because, thank God, we have a lot of things going on. I can tell you honestly, even my son, I just spent Shabbos with him. The only reason I'm here is because of Rabbi Benovitz. And honestly, as I said to you a second ago, I'd go anywhere in the world for Rabbi Benovitz. So thank you for having me here. I'll speak very briefly, hopefully. By the way, Yonatan Nuzan's here from Eshet Torah. I have two of the Talmidim like floating around because I'd like our yeshiva to get closer to NCSY in terms of people coming to work here and participating. I just want to just give you a very, very quick part of Torah, I think a little bit just to talk about Kiruv in general. And I'll give a couple words about what I think about Kiruv around the world, and then we'll open it up for any question that you might have. You know, there's the Rambam talks about that Avraham Avinu was not the first monotheist. You know, it's interesting, this is the Torah I'm giving you. Actually, the first time I ever heard it was from David Beshevkin, but later I found out Rav Noach Weinberg used to tell it like every other week, you know. But the point is that Avraham Avinu was not the first monotheist, right? He lists out, you had Adam, you have Noah, you have Chanoch, right? You have Eber, a whole bunch of people, right? But it wasn't until Avraham steps up that he's the Amud Shalom, he's the pillar of the world, and he, you know, basically taught everyone monotheism, to believe in Hashem and all the other amazing things. So the Ravid asks the question, he says, I don't understand, like if Shem and Eber had a yeshiva, and we know that they were so engaged, like why didn't they tell everyone the idols were wrong, and that the people should, you know, break up their idols and, you know, believe in Hashem? So the Ravid gives an answer, it's not like the greatest answer in the world, maybe they didn't know about the idolatry, it is what it is. The Kesef Mishnah jumps in, and the Kesef Mishnah says, let me explain it to you. He said, Shem Aver ran a beautiful yeshiva, right? Probably looked a lot like this room. And if you walked in that front door, then you could learn all about God. Right? They'd teach you everything you wanted to know. If you never walked in that front door, you would never know anything about Hashem, about the Almighty. What Avraham did was, Avraham jumped up on a chair, like in the middle of like a mall or something, and would just scream and yell about God. And he would grab everyone by the lapels and just keep talking about, and try to bring it to the world. That was the difference between Shem Aver and Avraham, and that's why we sent from Avraham. And it's almost as if, you know, when Judaism was starting, there were two ways that we could have gone. The first way was Shem Aver, we could have had yeshivas, been very insular, and it would have been absolutely amazing for whoever was inside, and we wouldn't really think twice about all the other people on the street. The other option was Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu, his version of Judaism was us going out and basically telling the world about the Almighty. And it's clear that Judaism descended from Avraham Avinu. That we are, you know, when people talk about Kiruv, 40 years ago, Rav Noach Weinberg, who started Eshet Torah, he went to the old city with a dream that people can walk into his yeshiva not knowing an Aleph or a Beis, and eventually become Rabbanim. And everyone thought he was out of his mind. They used to call him Noach the Meshuggah, literally. They thought he was crazy. You know, take, look, if people don't know the Torah, they don't know the Torah, just leave it be. You know, there's a famous story. He used to go to Rosh Hashanah every week. And he always said that Rosh Hashanah wanted to close up shop, he'd close up. Right? Every week he used to go talk to him. Rosh Hashanah came. Rosh Hashanah was very nice to him, but never fully got, you know, what Esh was. He came to one of Rav Noach's sons, Brissim. He walked in, Rav Yehuda Weinberg, who's there now, and Rosh Hashanah walked around, Zatzal, and Rav Noach introduced him to the guys. And he said, he's a Baal Tshuva? He's a Baal Tshuva? He was like in shock, seeing these B'nai Torah. So he famously got up in the Beis Medrash and he said, if one man could destroy 6 million Jews, then one man can bring back 6 million Jews. Right? It was a very powerful statement by one of the Gedolei Ador. And so this thing was built in Kiruv, so there was this whole revival of Kiruv. But the bottom line, it wasn't really true. It wasn't like that we woke up 40 years ago and we said, we need to reach out to people, we need to do Kiruv. Inherent in Judaism is reaching out. This is what it's built on. All of Judaism is built on reaching out and getting up and speaking to people. We've become insular and we never really should have been. You know, and the question is, what benefit do we get? So a quote, a Mormon friend of mine, I used to do a lot of lobbying. I used to hang out with the Catholics, the Mormons, a lot of those guys in Washington. So I was talking to a Mormon one time. So the Mormons are actually, in a weird way, kind of close to us, you know? They're also 2% of North American population. The Mormons also, you know, at post-high school, they go for their, you know, year or two of missionizing, right? We go to Israel. So we were schmoozing. I said, well, you know, you send all these kids missionizing. How successful are you? And he says, we don't really know. I'm like, what do you mean? You don't know how many, you're spending millions of dollars and you have no idea if you're getting any converts back as a result? He said, no, we don't do it for the converts, we do it for our kids. If our kids spend 2 years knocking door to door, preaching their religion, they come back and they're so much stronger. And it's the same thing in terms of Kiruv and making the case for Judaism. The more you make the case, the stronger you become. And it's almost as if what I've seen in the Kiruv movement, I'm starting to talk about this now, you know, when you get some of these arrogant people saying, should we put money into Kiruv? Maybe we should just, you know, strengthen the yeshivas, etc. The Kiruv world has become the R&D, the research and development for the greater Jewish world. What do I mean by that? We started something 40 years ago called Discovery, right? How many people here have been through the Discovery program? Right? A lot of you. So someone just wrote a paper on outreach. I think it was at Rutgers, their doctoral dissertation. They spoke with Baba Chorebi, Rav Noach Weinberg, all these people, where they said that Discovery is the most widely attended Jewish seminar in the history of the world. In fact, in the paper they wrote, if Martians would descend down and want about Judaism, they would take the Discovery seminar, right? It was created to teach God in the world, Jewish history, all these things, right? Today, across from my office on the fifth floor, every single yeshiva and seminary goes to Discovery. Because so many Jews today have this issue with connecting with God. So many people are socially orthodox. The Orthodox community has become so strong that people are Orthodox because they've kind of grown up in that way. And by the way, I'm talking about Hasidim, I'm talking about Yeshivish, I'm talking about Orthodox, I'm talking about everyone. This is, you know, this is an affliction across all lines. Where people have, you know, at H, our obsession, you know, when you walk into H, people will talk about God and the Almighty all day long. You'll get sick of it. That's all they do. And that's what the whole seminar is about. So here we are, taking the whole from world and sending us to this seminar to teach them about God, something that was developed for Baalei Tshuva. We start something in America called Project Inspire, right? Our job was to get from people inspired so they can go out and do the Kiruv, right? Why have Kiruv professionals when I have tens of thousands of Orthodox Jews that can invite people to their home for shopping? You know what we found out? We run the largest Jewish Orthodox convention. I think there's 1,600 people at the Project Inspire convention. We found so many people are coming. Guess what? Because they're not personally inspired. So they're coming to us, right? And we're trying to train them. But meanwhile, all these from people need their own inspiration. And whether it's Aish or whether it's anti-Swai or any of these things, our job is to create passion-inspired Jews. Judaism that is without passion or inspiration just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It may go a generation or two, but it won't last. So that's our job. That's our job. People are out there. People are very, I find they're very, very open. You know, I don't know if you saw, we just did a bar mitzvah with Jeremy Piven. Anyone know who that is? Yeah. There are a couple of Kola guys. My son and a bunch of his friends were at the bar mitzvah. I won't quote some of the things that were said there, but you can ask Ellie. He'll give you the stories over, you know? He tell you a story? Okay. Let's just leave that cola, if you don't mind. I didn't put that in my weekly, you know? But it was interesting. But we have people all the time coming and interested, you know? And in fact, you walk around Aish and you talk to you guys, like, you know, Yonatan, you want to tell them for 30 seconds your background?
Sure.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Josh Kent was a former Madrich also.
Right. Josh is wandering around, I think. Josh here, or is he wandering? Yonatan, tell them your background.
Sure. So,
60 seconds.
Before I came to Aish, I was the manager of a hotel in Manhattan. And before that, I went to APAI and was introduced to Aish in America, in New York. So one of the rebbeim was like, I have a trip to Israel if you want to go for 3 weeks. And I was like, yeah, no, it's not happening. I'm like way too busy. I got 14-hour shifts, 19-hour shifts. I got no time for this. He's like, if you don't have time now, it's just never going to happen. So I ended up coming on a trip to Essentials, started asking questions of if God exists and everything like that. And as a matter of fact, this week, that was 3 years ago. I've made Aliyah. I just got married in Lag BaOmer. And I have so much gratitude to revert to Asia and everything that's been going on through the mission that you guys represent. So thank you so much.
You know, so we have guys there, and again, it's Kedai to come spend some time, just the base bench to hang out. You know, there's a guy there named Ari Sarap, right? He's a friend of ours. So Ari came to us from Las Vegas, and it was an amazing thing. His job was doing social media for, like, clubs in Vegas, and now he's doing social media for Aish and learning the base measures. He just put up, I kid you not, you can see on his thing, he just put up, like, they had these, like, 1 year ago things. There's a year with, like, a bunch of his buddies from Vegas, and then a year with, like, a bunch of, like, Bahram from, like, Asia Torah, you know? Very different pictures. You know, and I had Ellie. Josh, give your background for 30 to 60 seconds to these guys.
My name is Josh Kent. I know a good amount of
you guys. Audrey Cole, too.
Two summers ago, I was with you guys.
A summer in Chespin.
I learned Yiddish Torah now over 4 years, and it's been amazing.
Where'd you come from?
I grew up on Long Island.
We don't care about that now.
I grew up on Long Island. I went to public school. Then I went to SUNY Albany for college. I wasn't so Jewish affiliated, but I did grow up with a strong Jewish sense of pride, let's say. And I definitely connected as a Jew. So when I got there, I looked for certain programs, like Chabad. I went there for Friday night dinner. And then eventually I went on Birthright and got in touch and involved with the Aish family that moved onto campus my senior year. I started going there for Shabbos a lot. And I did a trip with Aish Torah that I guess it's similar to TJJ, but for college kids. And it was life-changing and amazing. And then when I graduated college, I decided to come back and learn. And then I came for a three-week trip to Israel, and I'm here almost four and a half years later. I'm still here on that three-week trip.
So and also just got married.
I also just got married a month ago.
Wow. And your wife's background?
And my wife has a similar background. She also grew up not affiliated and got involved in at Aish Penn State with a friend of mine, actually, who was at Aish Torah before he went to work for Penn State there. So then he was Makar of her on campus, kind of. And then he actually kind of led us to meeting each other also. And then she graduated college, learned for a year at a Baal Shuva seminary called Shearim in Hornof. And we just got married a month ago. And now we're here for Shana Rishona. So if anyone's learning here this year.
All right, thank you. We have Mitchasun. But, you know, my point to you is, you know, I mentioned you before, we have 16 guys going in Aish Smicha now. So I interviewed, I think, 12 of them in the last couple of days. And so many of those guys, well, first of all, Josh is one of them, but so many of those guys are guys that have very, very limited background. You know, one guy grew up in Jamaica, did not know anything about Judaism, wound up majoring, right, Miles, right, majoring in Chinese studies, went to live in China for 2 years, worked for a nonprofit, like, you know, and somehow, again, everything is like a three-week trip to Israel, became 4 or 5 years. But I guess my point to you is sometimes, you know, you're working with people and stuff like that. It's nice, it's cute, the whole thing. You have to understand that if you can influence people out there and to take this kind of journey, then you could change the world. All these guys are now going out, they're going to be robotum, they're going to do amazing things. And that's all because someone took the time along the way. We don't have time now to go through it. There were people along the way that learned with them. There were people along the way that had patience. There were people along the way that thought this was important and made that case. And I think that no matter what you go into, it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't really matter if you're a doctor, lawyer, rabbi, kiruv, chinuch, pulpit, whatever it is, but the general message is an important one, which is everyone has got to be involved in this type of work. They've got to be involved in this type of work, whether it's people that are totally secular, or even whether it's from people that, like, frankly, could care less. And I know I'm preaching the choir here by being a kolel, But you know, Moshe has always been very good about identifying you as the future leadership of the Jewish people. You have a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of things that need to get fixed up. There's a lot of things that need to be done. And there aren't a lot of leaders out there. That I could say from firsthand experience. There are not a lot of great leaders out there. So I'm going to actually wrap it up now and just open for questions, because I know that we have to go soon for Mincha. I don't want to take up too much of your time. But I want to thank you for, first of all, thank you for my son. For those of you that have him in their chaburas and all the other stuff. And just for the work that you're doing here, everything. I know a lot of the kids, actually, because a lot of my son's friends. So I've seen these, like Rav Savlovsky. I've been Rav Savlovsky Shul since the day he opened it for 11 years. And so I've watched a lot of these guys grow along the way. So I literally, you know, I've seen them. And now I think this is the first kind of tikkun. Rav Savlovsky has a bunch of his talmidim from his shul that are here, of young guys. But what you can do here and what you're doing here is really amazing. You know, it's really amazing. And, you know, we're inspired by Aish, and I'd like you to come to Aish and be inspired by what we do as well. You know, some of the people you'll definitely recognize, Rabbi Yitiel Govech. Rabbi Govech was my first Rebbe in YU. His son, Rabbi Yitiel Govech, heads up Aish Israel. And I just gave a sefer to a couple of the Rebbeim that they just put out. You know, Deb Rossman, the director of our yeshiva, went to YU. There's a lot of close connections to a lot of the places you've come from, to Eishet Torah, way more so than you would think. In fact, I didn't even realize it until, say, at Yarchi Kal last year, we have something called Eish Gesher. So now we have a post-high school program. We're up to 45 guys. I mean, it's growing and growing. Because, I mean, I'll just tell you what it's for. We're basically for guys. We can't take a guy that wants to go out and party. That's not what Eish is. We have a lot of freedom, and you know. But if a guy doesn't believe in God, that's perfect for us. Like we have enough rabbis to sit and schmooze and talk. They just have to be like, you know. So that's the post high school program that we've grown. So we were saying like it would be great for us to go to NCSY Yachei Kala. We couldn't get in. We can get in there time this. Then we turn around and realize that like 3 or 4 of the Rebbeim of Yachei Kala were Eish guys. Meaning so many, you know, Tzalik Friedman in Central East, 3 of his cities have Eish guys as Rebbeim there. So a lot, you know, we didn't even realize that connection that we had at NCSY, and we want to strengthen the connection. This year, for the first time, we had 300 kids from TJJ that had a Friday night dinner at our place. A lot of you have. Were any of you at our base medrash for the learning program?
Yeah.
A bunch of you guys. So you see what's going on there. First of all, anytime you want to come and just sit and learn, I had this close from Savolovsky. I guess you were in the old city in the last day or two or something like that. Anyway, he came to learn at H. You know, I try and grab him anytime, and we feel it was great. Off our balcony, we filmed a whole message for the shul with the coats on the background, you know. But it's really a place there. Anytime you want to come and sit and learn, you're in the old city, whatever it is, come and experience it and see what it is, because I think it's a very, very strong resource for the entire Jewish world. And that's our goal, really, in Eishet Torah is, I always tell people, Eish has to be bigger than Eish. Eish has to be responsible for all organizations, for all people, for anyone. And the amount of people that we have coming through the building is really outstanding. I always tell people the story, we're talking about in the car, about Tzipi Hatzavelli. You know what Tzipi Hatzavelli is? She's the deputy farm minister of the state of Israel. She's like in her 30s. She's, I can say, I don't just tell this part of the story. I can tell here on the Kollel. I was talking. What? Oh, okay, so I'll tell this part after. No, I was sitting there with, there was a senior politician waiting for her to come in, and there is no foreign minister, right? So she's basically it. So he said to me, she's like very Masorati. You know, okay. And she walks in, like a skirt to her ankles and a shekel. I'm like, that's not Masorati, you know? Anyway, we talked about Kira for like 2 hours. She's an amazing person. And we were walking out on the bottom floor, and I said, you know, I have a present for you. So she joked with me, like a safe, because that's like what rabbis, you know, give out books and stuff. I said, no, I have something better. I gave her a key card to our building. We have the only private entrance out to Kotel Plaza, right from the plaza. And I said, I want you to have a key to the building. Know that the foreign ministry owns this building as much as Eishet Torah does. Right? We believe that Eishet Torah, we have that building for Klal Yisrael. And she was very moved by it. She still has my key, actually. I have someone else's in my pocket. But that's part of our hashkafa. Our hashkafa is to be, you know, to be Klal Yisrael's, you know, go-to in terms of helping out. So, questions? Yeah.
What makes Aish unique from, like, NCSY or Chabad or the rest of the organizations that do?
So NCSY is an easy one. It's just age, meaning, you know, you work in the space of, let's say, 13 to 17, give or take. We don't, you know, and so that, you know, that's why it's an easy partnership between us and NCSY, you know, and in fact, I've told many branches, when the parents become religious, hand off the kids to NCSY as much as possible to be able to do that piece. So that, you know, that part of it. Turn to us, Chabad, very interesting. I have a great relationship with Chabad. Chabad, the approach of Chabad and the Chabad of Eish is a little bit different. Their approach is much more emotional. It's about the mitzvah. It's about, you know, the chassidus and the celebration. You know, for us, it's much more intellectual. Like in Eish Torah, our biggest thing is Torah's Chaim, right? We know if you talk about Torah's Chaim, relevant Torah. But for us, the ultimate is the guy's got to sit and learn the base medrash. And it, you know, we pride ourselves that you can walk into our building not knowing one word of Hebrew and you could sit in a shir. Right, so we're very focused on the intellectual, very focused on discovery, our classes and stuff like that. So for some people, there, you know, in terms of Chabad versus Eish, you know, if someone wants to come and sit and learn for a week, a balabasim like that, Eish is the place to go. Someone wants to, you know, in terms of more Hasidus and spirituality, things like that, in general, then Chabad. It's not to say that Chabad doesn't have intellectual, not to say we don't have emotional, but it's really where the organizations are weighted. So I think that's a little bit of a difference. But for us, and that's why for me, it was perfect hashkafically coming from a Kol background, you know, NCSY Kol, in terms of understanding that Torah is the, you know, if you look at our organization, it's a huge worldwide, 35 branches around the world, organization, South Africa, England, all places, right? You look at our organization and you look at the numbers, you would say the yeshiva's got, you know, I don't know, like, you know, 275, 300 guys in it. It's like a small part of our programs. But the way we view it is the yeshiva is the heart and soul of our organization, meaning you could try and drive a car, but if there's no engine inside, you're not going to go anywhere. So that's the way we relate to the yeshiva. So even if it's physically smaller in terms of people, our organization is rooted with the yeshiva as the heart and soul. And that intellectual and that learning component is the most important. No one will ever really fully become observant or Torah Jew without Talmud Torah. Like, that's our philosophy. I'm good. I got a couple minutes. We can look at each other. Yeah, there you go.
How did you make your way to Eish? Meaning, like, I'm saying, obviously, looking through our bonus, like, there's a lot of positions that we do at NCSY. How did that work out for you?
Yeah, I had a lot of, it was a lot of Siyata Shmaya. It's, I spent 22 years in NCSY. I started, I was 19, I walked into Shabbaton in Pittsburgh, and I basically decided I wanted to be a regional director. It took me 9 years. I was an assistant director for Tzali for 4 years. I worked for him for 9 years in total. And I became the regional director of West Coast. And then 5 years later, I became the international director of NCSY, and managing director of the OU, etc. My career path was, for sure in NCSY, was every job I took, no one else wanted. Like, along the way. I'm without exaggeration. Meaning, when I went to West Coast, they had lost the regional director, and there was an opening. And they said, does anybody, you know, anybody want to do this? But back when I was called, I remember, you know, I was like the kid. You know, who wants a career in NCSY? I was like the only hand up, you know, back in the day. And when West Coast, the position opened, and they said, well, who wants to do this? And I was like, I'll do it. I'll take it. They're like, anyone else? It was kind of like one of these. And they waited a full year to try and find someone else, you know? And I was like, in the background going, like, I'm here. You know, I spent 4 years assistant director, you know? And back then, NCSY did not really promote from within. It was actually, they used to take from outside a lot. And finally, they literally had no other choice because no one else would take it because it was a disaster. And they brought me out there to meet the Balabatim. I met with four Balabatim showed up to the meeting. Two of them were a married couple that no one wanted to be there because they caused problems. They tried to hide the meeting from them. They found out and they came. Those are two. Another person had no idea what NCSY was, but he was friendly with some guy that was attending the meeting, so he came to see him. And then one guy who actually a little bit knew what NCSY was, you know? And it was just a total... So I got the job by default. So we wound up, though, it was a great opportunity because what are you going to do? You can't make it any worse than it was. But we took it... I tell you, those are the best opportunities. We took it in 2 years from 175 kids a regional to 425. We built JSU. We built TJJ. We built a lot of things today. Came out of West Coast at the time. We hired people up and down the coast. And it was a great opportunity. And then 5 years later, you know, there was this opportunity at NCSY. My predecessor was a wonderful person. Did not last 6 months. And it was like a revolving door type of thing. And again, it was the same type of thing where I'm like, I'll do it, you know, like waving the background, you know. And I got that opportunity, and I made the most of it, you know. And so that was like my career know you in NCSY. When I finally left, I went to the Wiesenthal Center, Simon Wiesenthal Center, which is very different than anything I'd ever done. It's much broader, much bigger in terms of my experience of being in the Jewish community. With the Wiesenthal Center, I was dealing with the African-American community, Latino community, LGBT community, like, you name a community. And so it was really different for me. I had known the executive director of Wiesenthal from L.A. I was friendly with him, and it was like, whenever you're ready to leave, call me type thing. So I called him. I went for 3 years, and I was there, and, you know, and stuff. You know, would I have fought anti-Semitism my whole life? I don't know, you know, but it was a good 3 years. And then Eish, you know, since the death of Rav Noach, it had a very tough time. And someone called me up to take me to lunch and said, kind of like, you know, would you be interested? And then, yeah, I said, yeah. And then I, and again, this was, again, a job that, you know, no one really wanted. And then I got interviewed by like 100 people. I kid you not. Because it was like, hey, you have to understand, so many people culturally have been there for 40 years. They walked in when they were 18, 19, you know, became from and stuck with H for 40 years. So it was interesting. Like, I'd interview with someone, and they, you know, one of these would be like, you know, why do you think you should date my daughter type of thing. You know, like very, you ever have one of those dates? You know, you walk in, you're like, oh, this is not going to go well. You know, the guy's like, you know, staring at you. So it was like that. And then halfway through, like, I'm a decent guy. I'm a normal guy. I have a good background, the whole thing, you know. And then they'd, like, lean forward. They'd be like, you know, you should run. You know, meaning like, you know, because very complicated. But it was a lot of siyata shemai. My 25 years in Jewish community, every single thing I had worked on had got me ready for Aish. Meaning most of my experience was in organizational, structural, stuff like that. Now look, my degree is medieval Jewish history from Revel, which I took because it seemed like a good idea at the time. Never used it once in my life, you know. But so, you know, I probably would have done Sicilian. Had I thought about my career at all, I would have probably done it differently. But most of my experience has been on that, on organizational, national building stuff, which is very different than the hands-on stuff.
It was like when you were younger, you saw yourself in Asia. It was kind of like,
no.
This opportunity.
When I was younger, all I wanted to be when I was 19 was a regional director. Like a kid, you know, like everything I did was to become a regional director. You know, they had an opening for TJJ. I jumped in a bag of goldfish. Like anything they would do, I would take it. And when I became a regional director, I want you to know, in the beginning, I was like very depressed. Because I hit my goal. I didn't know what else to do. I'm like a little bit of a driven guy, which is, you know, annoying sometimes. Like, you know, so I got there. And I was regional director. In the beginning, I was struggling. Like, okay, like I made, what do I do? So then I did West Coast. And it, look, if you're competent, you're good, you work hard, opportunities will present themselves. And sometimes you need to just have a little bit more faith in God than perhaps we do. You know, we like to take credit for most of the stuff in our life. You know, faith in Kadosh Baruch Hu is like a theoretical thing that we all have if asked. You know, but it's another thing. Like when I left NCSY in the OU, I'll tell you, it was by far and away the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life, and it was by far and away the best thing I ever did in my entire life. You know, it changed me as a person. Changed, you know, I was there 22 years. That's not a small amount of time. You know. And it was rough. You know, you go to Wiesnall, change a shift, the whole thing. But, you know, it's I'm a better person now. And you know, and I really think that, I'm not joking, my being at Eishet Torah is 1,000% from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Every single thing I did in my life, Eish needed. You know, they were having structural problems. They didn't need me to, like, give the shiurim and the Torah and with no Torah. Like, they didn't need that stuff. They had a lot of that stuff. It was great. They needed organizational stuff. They needed someone to lead. They needed, you know, a lot of stuff they needed, it was just, it fit in. And it was just incredible siyata d'shamayah, you know. I don't mean to sound too from here or anything, you know. And if you know me well, you know, I'm like the least from guy usually in any room. But, you know, sometimes things are just too, you know. So I think for yourselves, like, as you build a career, you have to work hard. You have to do the things, speak to people about what will get you along the way. But you also have to believe a lot in God and that God really, this is something that's important to him as well. And you have to, you know, if you keep moving along the way, you'll see a lot of siyata d'shamayah. Not everything will be easy because life's not easy. That's just the way it is, you know. And some of the things you know, anyone wants to go to smicha, you have to pick a smicha program, you know. You know, if you want to be a rav or you want to go into chinuch, then YU isn't me. And I went to YU, right? My boy's got MTA. If you want to kiruv, YU is probably not the place to go to smicha, you know. And I say that with love and affection. You can sit and learn there, but if someone wanted to go to kiruv, I would tell them to go to either a Berkowitz's kolel, the Jerusalem kolel, or to go to Eishet Torah. You know, when I went to YU, so at the third year, they said to me, they're like, you get this shemush, whatever, you know? So they said, okay, what do you want to do with your life? I said, I want to work for NCSY, right? That was all I ever wanted to do, you know? So the guy, this is a direct quote now. He says, well, yeah, you know, you're a square peg in a round hole. We can't really, you know, help you in that, but we have this great placement for you, and they put me in an old age home. This is not an exaggeration. My third year shemush was in an old age home. I would go every Friday, Shalom Aleichem, wheelchairs drool, like everyone's staring at me. It was like, you know, and that was how I was prepared to go into Kiruv. So, you know, and I don't hold it against them, because I think in terms of, if you want to go into chinuch, you go to Azrael and the whole thing, you want to go to the pulpit, like they're really good at that stuff. They have no idea what to do with the Kiruv guy. And throughout the years, and I say this, you know, Jacob Glasser, Kenny Brand, these are all my good friends, Richard Joel, like, you know, I'm still very close with all these guys. You know, I talk to them all the time. But if someone really wants to take a Kiruv path, then I would take a different path probably than the one most chosen. Because it just doesn't fit in terms of getting in there. No, wait, I got another 5 minutes.
Can we just clean up before we go?
Bench. Bench.